Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we're glad you're here. With so many voices out there, news, social media, even comedians and friends, it's tough to know what or how to think and how to make decisions. We just want to help you sort through all the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find our way to Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good. Good to be here.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Jeff, we're going to jump right into our question of the day. We have someone reaching out, and they're trying to figure out a pretty serious topic. They say, hey, Jeff and Joe, I've got a question, and I'm unsure if you're even able to help navigate this serious topic in just an episode, but one of the things I've never had a solid answer on is what happens to people who are believers in Christ but end up committing suicide. On one hand, the church I grew up attending said that anyone who committed suicide automatically went to hell, which kind of made sense as a kid because you're basically spitting at God and attempting to be Him by choosing when you pass from this life. On the other hand, as a young adult, I've learned that there's no sin-o-meter to gauge one sin compared to the millions of others that there are. Sin is sin. None of it's good. I'm not saying that suicide's okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to help you hear my heart behind the question. I understand completely that this is hard to tackle, but I think it'll be potentially beneficial to others as well. So what happens when someone that says they believe in Christ ends up committing suicide? Jeff, how do we navigate this as the church, the family, the people that would know these other folks that we love?
Yeah, it is a very difficult topic to talk about with what I think is a very clear answer in Scripture. And so I think a very short answer is, if someone is truly a believer in Christ and they have accepted and received the forgiveness of their sin and been indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are walking with the Lord, if they committed suicide, I believe that they would be with Christ. And the reason that I believe that in a broad term is because there's many reasons why people would commit suicide. So we usually think of emotional trauma, stress, pain, those kind of things. We don't often think of people who were escaping something. So for instance, and this is a heavy topic, it really is, but I remember during 9/11 that when the Twin Towers were on fire, that there were people who jumped, and they knew they were going to die. They knew that they were going to be consumed by flames, and so they chose a different path. I'm a history buff, and I know that in World War I especially, pilots would often carry a pistol with them because if their plane was hit, those planes were canvas, and they would burst into flames, and the pilot would take his life instead of dying in a crash or dying in flames. So, and I could go on and on and on and on. And what I'm saying is that when you put down a blanket statement, you're not being thoughtful. You're not being nuanced, and you're not really wrestling with the heart and the character of God. So can someone who commits suicide go to heaven? Yes, because God's grace is greater, His mercy is greater, and nothing separates us from the love of God. The real question that's being asked there is this: if someone's in Christ, would they commit suicide? Mm. And that is a very difficult question, I think, that I think you can wrestle with it. I'm not sure that you can ever fully come to a fully a clear answer that just satisfies all the questions around it. So especially on the emotionally distressed side of the question, can you be indwelt with and filled by the Holy Spirit, who produces the fruit of His presence in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and be suicidal? Mm-hmm. And then you get into questions like, what part of our emotional health is driven by a broken physical body. So there is depression, there is an anxiety that is chemical in nature. And just like we would have a heart problem or a, you know, gout or something like that, we have a chemical imbalance in our body. I'm a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with gout. Mm-hmm. So that means that my kidney does not process an acid correctly. Well, that's a chemical problem, and I treat it medically to fix it. So if I have that same type of chemical problem, right, and it takes me to a place of desperation and despair, is that my soul out of whack? Is that my mind undisciplined? Or is that a, so to say, quote unquote, broken body taking me to a broken place? So this is where it gets very nuanced and it gets very difficult. And you start wrestling with, if you're a Christ follower, how do you become so hopeless? If you're a Christ follower, why is there no joy in my life? All the way down to, say, you are the pilot in the airplane. Do you not believe in the miraculous, et cetera, et cetera? And so to me, that's what I mean. There's a little bit of, like, can someone go to heaven? Of course. Yes. Do they? I'm like, well, that's not my call, number one. And number two, if we're wondering if they do or not, then we're actually having a very big conversation about what's going on in their heart and in their life.
Yeah, I think that that's very insightful, Jeff, because you're right. I think very few times are we parsing it out, nuancing out, realizing that this topic is not just a one-size-fit-all scenarios. I do think that the character of God is a huge factor in all of this in terms of what he's willing and what he's trying to do with us. And then, as you said, I think that even with these questions that we might ask of these other people, those can be good questions if they're there to help. Like, why are you having a hard time experiencing the hope of Christ? Is a great caring question. It's a terrible judgmental question.
Right. Yeah, you see in Scripture godly people who got to desperate places.
Sure.
Elijah, I think, is probably one of the most famous ones, where Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was standing against a political system, and he was standing against a religious system, and he was being persecuted and prosecuted, running for his life. And he's like, God, can you just strike me down? Mm-hmm. it's so not worth it. So he was hopeless. Now, when you look back at his life, he was full of trust. He's full of faith. He put the prophets to Baal to a test and passed it. God did the miraculous. He was full of courage. But I think all of us have been at different levels in our life where we are so out of gas, mm-hmm. or the circumstances of life are so relentless that you feel like you're drowning in them. I've seen that with people, godly people who live godly lives, and they get to the end of their life and their death is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's a painful death. It's a death that's tied to suffering. They have the bone cancer kind of a thing. And I'm like, yeah, they start asking questions. Where is God? Why God? They get to desperate places. I'm not sure that means that they've lost their faith. Mm-hmm. Because if I took out, let's say that our lives are 60 minutes long. Okay, let's just pretend they're 60 minutes long. If I took any 5-minute segment out of that, then I could prove that you weren't a Christ follower. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to omit the other 55 minutes. And so can you hit a point of desperation where you make a short-sighted, desperate decision? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. Mm-hmm. What's so tragic, one of the things that's so tragic about suicide is the vast majority of suicides would not happen if they were interrupted. Mm-hmm. So it's often it's a desperate moment, a desperate day. That's why it's so confusing. I have a friend whose son took his life, and my friend was like, we had just gone on a trip. I talked to him earlier that day. He had friends. He just finished this training that was important to him. And he's like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I get it. And all I can do now is comfort my friend. But I'm like, on the other hand, like, can you get that desperate that fast? I'm like, I think I can.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm an emotional guy. Mm-hmm. Now, my emotions aren't raging out of control, but they swing higher and lower internally than they do externally. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that, mm-hmm. you know, that tendency. And then you add into that, maybe you're younger and you haven't picked up the maturity to manage those emotions well. Maybe you're older and you're like, I'm tired of this. Or maybe you're just out of gas. It's fascinating how desperate we can get and how quick. So if your life is 60 minutes long and I'm looking at the right 5 minutes, I can draw all the wrong conclusions. And so I think you have to, it's stuff like that where you like have to look at the whole of someone's life. You have to weigh the sincerity and the authenticity of their faith. And then you're ultimately, like in all things, we're trusting ourselves into the hands of a just and merciful God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible's extremely clear that we are not the ones who decide or determine salvation. God is. And I'm glad that's his responsibility, not mine, because I wouldn't always know what to do.
Yeah. Well, I think that talking about our emotions that way, Jeff, I think is incredibly helpful, because we do respond to our emotions negatively more often than we probably care to admit. I like to say things like emotions are great indicators but terrible masters, but that doesn't mean that sometimes they don't get the best of me.
Yeah.
You know, like I can know, like, for instance, in the last, 4 or 5 years, I've tried to be better about what I eat. That doesn't mean that every once in a while I don't emotionally eat. Like, I still accidentally give in to my emotions to stress eat or to whatever. Sometimes I have a stronger outburst of anger than I'm comfortable with, or that might even straight up be sinful. It doesn't mean I'm an angry person. It just means that in that moment, it got the best of me. When we put our other emotions and other circumstances into this equation, we're like, right, sometimes we give into our emotions in a way that was not fair. Suicide, I saw this quote in preparing for today, that suicide doesn't always reflect someone's theology, it reflects their pain. It's the buildup of their emotion, and so that doesn't make it okay, but for those of us navigating alongside the person that tried to, or trying to comfort those that lost someone to, it can build up this compassion. It doesn't mean that the rest of their hour, their 60 minutes, was worthless. It means that 5 minutes got so intense that they felt like that was their only option.
Yeah, and I think we have to be merciful and gracious about that. One of the things that I've learned over the years, Heidi and I have done this especially with the kids, is we've been, instead of just gracious and merciful and not being critical and judgmental, I think what we've come to is we've come to being realistic. So I remember over the year, you know, we have 9 children with our daughter-in-laws, but we raised, you know, our original 6. And so we've gone to a couple funerals of teenagers who've taken their life over the years. I've done several of these funerals. It is tragic. It is heartbreaking. It is sickening. And what happens in those moments with those children when they take their lives, I'm just using this as an example, is they believe a lie. Mm-hmm. So they believe that they are unloved, and they believe that they are unwanted, and they believe that no one cares about them. And I'm just talking about in terms of realistic here. Mm-hmm. And what happens at their funeral is the lie is exposed. Mm-hmm. Because the parents are devastated, the family's devastated, the friends are devastated, the church is devastated. And I'm like, you were surrounded by people who love you. Now, there's two extremes that happen in those moments. One extreme is everybody blames the person who took their life, mm-hmm. which is you go to hell no matter what. That's what that is. Like, you're the other extreme, because that's not healthy or accurate. It's not realistic. The other extreme that's not realistic is everybody blames themselves. Right? We weren't there for them. I'm like, no, but we were. You know, I mean, I tell people all the time, I'll do anything for you, but I can't read your mind. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we were. And they often had, like, I'm thinking of one case in particular, small group leaders, a dad who loved them, like, everything you needed in life. And what I would look at is I would say what's tragic is if that would have been interrupted, they would have been reminded of all of that. Mm-hmm. But they got into a moment of desperation where they believed a lie, which is Satan is the father of lies. So they believe Satan got in their head, so to say, and they believed it. But as I was, as Heidi and I, you know, were there and like walking our own kids through it, we were always very realistic, and we would sit down with the kids every time we did this, and we would say, listen, it is. Do you see how much your friend was loved? And they're like, yes. And they saw this outpouring. And that actually can be dangerous because the kid got the attention they needed at their funeral. Mm-hmm. And so other kids are like, if I did this, I would get the attention. So, but Heidi and I would be, we'd be like, look, do you see how much they were loved? Yes. And then we would say, do you see how much pain they caused? Because you were friends, so you know Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. Such-and-such. And they're like, yes. And we're like, Heidi and I would look at them and say, suicide, there is a desperation and a compassion, and then there's a selfishness. And those, how your whole high school like came to that, those high school kids aren't going to be around in 5 years. Mm-hmm. But that devastated sister, that devastated mom. So we would walk them, not with judgment or harshness, but with a holistic 360, like, hey, this will be devastating. And when I've talked to my own kids who in the throes of their emotions, like you're like, what's on, you look at your kids sometimes, especially probably when they're teenagers and maybe early young adults, you're like, what is on your mind? And what I'll do, Heidi will do this, we'll do this with our kids, is like, you have to make me a promise right now that if you get desperate, you will call me no matter what. Dad, I'm not desperate. I didn't ask if you were. I didn't ask for your answer, really. I want a promise from you. Mm-hmm. And the kids have made us those promises over the years. And I'm like, I'll say to them, I don't care if I have to get you out of jail. I don't care if you find out she's pregnant. I don't care if you just got arrested on a DUI. We will work all of that out, but you're going to call me. Mm-hmm. And that's how we would approach it. And we're like, there's a realistic side of this that is painful. It's not just victimhood, but it's not like you're the biggest jerk in the world, you should go to hell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how God sees it. I do think suicide is a sin. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that my eternal destiny is in the hands of a loving, merciful, just God. Mm-hmm. Because God wishes none would perish. God is not looking for reasons to send you to hell.
No.
And if there is a, so to say, if there is a way to keep you out, he will find it and exercise it. Mm-hmm. Because he's a loving, merciful God. I think we can say that without being flippant or being like in denial about the deep pain and the deep impact of suicide. And somewhere in there, I'm just calling it realistic or reality. The reality is that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you take your life, somewhere in there you lost sight of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The reality is there are deep chemical imbalances. And they cause our bodies to break. And sometimes mental illness is actually physical illness, and our body's just broke. And then there are realities are an inevitability. Like one of the greatest fears of death is the fear of burning alive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be flippant in any way, shape, or form, but I remember on 9/11 watching that. I'm old enough, I was watching that live. I was an adult, I was watching that live, and I thought, I understand why they jumped. Like I would want to get it over with. And all of that is somehow how we wrestle with these things, and we should prevent it, push against it, intervene, be there for the desperate, on and on and on and on, you know, because it is, it's heartbreaking on every level.
Jeff, I'm confident that this episode probably drummed up some emotions for at least some of our listeners based on their experience and family or friends. For those that would be grieving that they've lost someone through suicide, what are some things that you would say to kind of comfort them or walk them through that process?
First of all, I say that we love you, and if we can in any way help, mm-hmm. or just be present, I don't want you to forget that you are loved and that you are cared for and that your church family cares a lot about what's going on in your life. That's number one. Number two, we have a loving and merciful God who wants your loved one with him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I had a young man commit suicide, and I remember sitting in my office with his sister, and she looked me in the eyes. She says, "Tell me if my brother's in hell or heaven." And I said to her, "I said I don't know, because he committed suicide. I don't know because of the rest of your brother's life. I know what he did when he was a child. I know how he lived as a teenager and young adult, and I know that he took his life. So I don't know. What I do know is that God wants him in heaven." Mm-hmm. And if he can make a way, if there was anything in there, he has made a way to do that. So it is a loving, merciful God, not a vengeful, angry God that that we're dealing with. Jesus absorbed the injustice and the sin of suicide on the cross. Mm-hmm. The wrath of God or the justice of God was poured out on him. So if God can make a way, he'll make a way. And I trust that. So I'm 100% the pain. Suicide introduces a pain that is different than any other pain. Mm-hmm. It's beyond the pain of an accident or a sickness. It really is. Mm-hmm. And you are not responsible. You did not make those decisions. You can hold your loved one responsible without hating them. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Like, I think it's important to look and say, they took their life. I was there for them. I would have been. Mm-hmm. They didn't reach out. They didn't. So all those kind of things. That is not blaming them or making them like the jerk in the story. That is a reality of the situation. And you can do that and deeply grieve at the same time. I miss them. I love them. I wish they would have.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the tragedy of it all. What I often talk about at funerals that are tragic is I say that we can run to the answers or we can run to the questions. So why did they do that? Why didn't God intervene? Did I do enough? Those are questions that you will never have an answer to. God is merciful. God is just. God wants them to be with them. There isn't one big sin that you commit that disqualifies you from the rest of life. That is an answer that you can rest in. And what I found is people who run to the questions are tormented by the questions, mm-hmm. because they're unanswerable.
Yep.
people who run to the answers are comforted by the answer. And when we're with the Lord, the question will be answered as well. So run to the answer and try to rest there.
Jeff, if one of our listeners is themselves wrestling with suicidal thoughts, how would you encourage or counsel them in this moment?
Tell someone you love and trust that that's what you're doing. So tell your parents, tell your spouse, tell a friend, call us, find us at church, tackle us in the parking lot. Like, there are people who love you. I promise you that there are people who love you. And I promise you that there are people who care and value you.
Yep.
We cannot read each other's minds. And if you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, you know as well as I do that you can put a smile on your face and go away very, very desperate.
Yep.
And I'm not calling you a jerk. I'm just saying I can't read your mind.
Right.
But I also promise you that there are people in your life, if you set them down and said, listen, I'm really struggling with the temptation to take my own life. Would a teacher, a coach, your parents, a friend, your pastors, they will stop. And they will absolutely be there for you in every way that you can. So the biggest thing, guys, is when you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, you're trapped in a thought cycle. And that thought cycle is a lie. You're being lied to by the evil ones. We even lie to ourselves. And if you can interrupt that thought cycle, what you're going to find is there's a lot of people who love you and care a whole lot about you and want to be there for you. We won't be able to be there perfectly for you,
no.
But we don't really ask anybody there to be perfectly there for us.
Right.
I don't need a perfect friend. I just need a present one.
Yep.
You know, and so you're surrounded by that, even if you don't believe that you are, especially if you're listening to this podcast. Call me or Joe.
Yep.
Right? Call the church. So, but act on that.
Well, I hope that this is helpful for not only the listener that submitted this question, but for the families that have had to go through this tragic experience of losing a loved one, and even, again, those that maybe are struggling with those thoughts even right now. Suicide is always tragic, as you said, Jeff, but it's not a final statement on what God is doing with that life, and a statement of even their own faith. And so just trusting in God's grace as we've lost that loved one, trusting in His plan if we're struggling with those thoughts and how He wants to redeem your life. Gosh, as Jeff just said, if you have questions about this in your own personal life, reach out, get the help. If you have follow-up questions to this topic, reach out to us. We'd love to tackle those and walk through those with you. You can always reach out to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Honestly, even if you're like, I have no other idea on how to get a hold of the church, use that form. And we obviously will know that you're not just asking a question for the podcast, but we will respond to those as absolutely quickly as possible. We want to help in any way. And we'd love to walk alongside your family as well. So if you have people that you know are just struggling with it, we can be a resource together for that as well. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Thanks for jumping in with us today and continuing to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.